Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this fourth day of March, 2022. Yesterday, if you were listening, you heard me having a spectacular interview, and I'm not saying that to brag about my end of it, but to brag about my guest's end of the discussion. John O. Sims, a pastor of the Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And after the program is over, he told me, you've got to get my dear friend Derek Melton, pastor of Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma, on the program. He is extraordinary. He is fascinating. And he's a very good friend of your friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So James White definitely echoed those wonderful sentiments about Derek Melton. And it just so happens providentially that he had today available to conduct an interview, and it just so happens that we providentially had today open. So I am so thrilled to have Pastor Derek Melton on for the first time. He is a retired assistant chief of police at the Pryor Police Department in Pryor, Oklahoma, and he's also senior pastor at Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma. And today we are going to be addressing one man's exodus out from the charismatic movement and into the Reformed faith. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Derek Melton.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to be here with you today. And just pray that the Lord will use it to help some brothers and sisters out there listening.
Amen. And if anybody does have questions specifically about the charismatic movement, but usually when we have a pastor on, we also broaden the spectrum of questions that we would invite you to ask on pastoral issues, since, as I said, our guest is a pastor. But we would prefer, obviously, that the topic, as many of you as possible, stick to the topic at hand, one man's exodus out from the charismatic movement and into the Reformed faith. And before I ask a couple of questions about Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma, and get the ball rolling with our interview, I just want to make it clear to our listeners that we are not going to be guilty of hate speech today against brothers in Christ with whom we disagree over the sign gifts, the charismatic gifts, and so on. I know some very wonderful, God-honoring, and Christ-like brothers and sisters who are charismatic and Pentecostal, some of whom outshine me and are far more Christ-like in their walk with Christ than I have ever been. They are wonderful people. Now, of course, not everyone who is a charismatic would fit that description, or Pentecostal, and not everybody who's a Reformed Baptist would either. But, in fact, there are some very dangerous charlatans and dangerous people who are deceived themselves, who are both leaders in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement and also members and followers in that movement. So I think that it's just very wise, and there, I think that there is absolutely nothing wrong with exposing error in the church when you see it very clearly. And in fact, let me add to that, that there are even charismatic and Pentecostal Christians who support this show financially, even though they know my stance against those particular aspects of what they believe. In fact, there is one in particular individual who is extremely generous financially to this program. But of course, I can't let that compromise my faith, nor would these folks expect me to. And so we are going to be delving into our guest testimony and also revealing why he felt compelled, not only from the scriptures, but from the Holy Spirit, to abandon the charismatic movement, and why he embraced Reformed theology and cessationism. But first, before we go into any of that, tell our listeners about Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma.
Well, brother, we are a group of believers that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that want to honor and glorify him with all that we have and are. We're lovers of the scriptures, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. In fact, I was getting ready to get up and preach Sunday morning, and I got a text from John O'Sims. It just said this: I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen, brother. I need the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, for those out there that would accuse guys like me that I've abandoned the Holy Spirit, it's just not true. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He illumines the glories of Christ in the scriptures to me, empowers me for service. And so anyway, we're a group of believers that are pursuing the Lord to glorify him in every area of life. And we believe that what the Bible teaches us is to be lived out, in every gamut of life. We exist for the glory of God, and that's our passion, to make much of him, to esteem him. And we love the scriptures because they put Christ on display. And so we also are involved in outreach with troubled teenagers, and I'm sure we'll get to that, but for the last 29 years, we have been working with a program in our community that's ran by the National Guard for at-risk boys and girls, and we've been doing their pastoral ministry for the last 29 years, and I've been working with troubled teenagers for 31 years.
Praise God. And the website, for those of you interested in finding out more about Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma, the website is Grace Life Pryor, that's P as in Peter, R-Y-O-R.org. Grace Life, P as in Peter, R-Y-O-R.org. And you can find out all the information you need, and I especially urge anyone who lives in or near Pryor, Oklahoma, to visit there, especially if you don't have a church home that's biblically sound. Or if you're visiting there on vacation, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, I hope that you would urge them to visit as well. Well, it's interesting that our theme today corresponds with something that we already do as a regular practice, as a tradition, as a custom here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony. And in this case, the whole program will very much involve not only your salvation testimony, but also your journey into coming to see and discover and embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, also nicknamed Reformed theology, also nicknamed Calvinism. And so tell us about... let's start at the beginning. Your upbringing, the religious atmosphere, if any, in the home in which you were raised, and we'll move forward from there.
Okay, so I was raised in a God-fearing home. My mother is a retired educator, and my father is a retired business owner. He owned a steel company or two, And so they took us to church on Sundays and Wednesdays in just a mainline denomination. So I grew up hearing the gospel in an elementary form, and not that there was any deep doctrinal distinctives in our denomination, because there wasn't. But the fact of the matter was that they did teach and preach that Jesus came to die for sinners. So I grew up hearing that in church, but also hearing that in the home. You know, my parents were godly and loved each other, and they exemplified what marriage should look like. And my dad was a very hard worker and provided for his family. And in fact, they're both still alive. My dad is 83, and my mom's 82, and they're both members of Grace Life Church. My mom actually teaches one of our small groups for the elderly ladies. We call them the Grannies of Grace, and plays the piano in our church. She taught music in the public school, and then also taught other grades as well. But so I grew up with that, but the problem was my depraved heart. I didn't believe the message of the gospel. When the scriptures say that we are by nature children of wrath, that pretty much depicts who I was before Christ. I was an enemy of Christ. I was opposed to the gospel. I went through some religious hoops at a young age. As a little boy in our denomination, we took communion every Sunday, and they wouldn't let you take communion unless you went forward and said the prayer. So I did that because we didn't have those. I mean, I was seven. We didn't have those little cute cups in our house with the grape juice, and I wanted that. And so I went forward and went through their hoops and got baptized, but was still a rebel. And by the time I'm 14, 15 years old, I'm slipping out and drinking alcohol, unbeknownst to my parents, using profane language and just rebelling against authority. My dad was a strict disciplinarian, so he wore me out as he knew best and needed to. But still, there was something on the inside of me that was very resistant to the gospel and to the things of God, and I was just was not having anything to do with it. I remember one particular occasion when one of my mom's dear, precious Christian friends came up to share the gospel with me. I was in my bedroom, and I made that precious sister cry, just so wicked and rebellious against authority and against the Lord. And so that was kind of the setting of my mom. I would come home late at night. I rodeoed in high school. I would fight a lot, drinking alcohol. Again, this was unbeknownst to my parents. It was all done out and away from them. Obviously, they would not have tolerated that at all. And I was by my mom in prayer, and I'd come home late at night. And I knew she was praying for me because I was the black sheep of the family, to use that phrase. My brother was an honor roll student in school. My sisters were very obedient at school, and I was the kid that got spankings at school back when they did that. And my parents had to meet with the teachers, and so the whole community knew that there was something wrong with the second of the four Melton children, and I was the second of the four Melton children. In fact, when I was in the ninth grade, I was in FFA, and I sang that John Anderson song, "I'm the Black Sheep of the Family," and the whole community was there, and they all fell over on the floor laughing and slapping the floor, because the whole city knew, or town knew, that that was so true, because the other kids were, my brother and my sisters did good in school, never in trouble, you know, were obedient, but I was not. I was the opposite. I was the kid always in the principal's office. So to speed this up, I got into law enforcement when I was 20 years old. They put a badge and a gun on my depravity. And I was married at that time. I got married when I was 19 years old to my wife, Stacy, now of 37 years. And things were not going well in our marriage because I was so selfish and sinful, drinking. So my parents, I know, were praying, and, you know, my dad had a couple, I call them come to Jesus meetings with me. In fact, I remember a time when I was in my patrol car running radar, and my dad come down there and had to come to Jesus with me, yanked me out of my police car, a little embarrassing, and talked to me about embarrassing the family name.
Wow.
turn to the Lord. You know, my dad is still a robust, manly man, and he just wasn't going to tolerate one of his sons embarrassing his name and acting like an idiot, which I certainly was. And so I remember they wanted me to go to church with them, and I had not been going. I did not want to go. And my wife was on the verge of divorcing me. She was unconverted at the time, but unhappy in marriage with me, obviously because I was not being a good husband. I was gone with all my law enforcement buddies, drinking and partying, and she was staying at home alone. And so she actually had ratted me out to my parents, and my sweet little daddy had to come yank a knot in my tail. So I did go to church with them as a little country church. It was not a gospel church at all, although we had grown up in a traditional church that had a semblance of the gospel. This church was borderline charismatic, but borderline's probably very generous. And to make a long story short, that didn't last long. The pastor ended up in a sexual affair with one of the women in the church, and that church abandoned. And that just kind of drove me further away from the church and wanted nothing to do with it. I was really deeply disturbed by what had taken place. You know, I had enough sense to know that a man that claimed to be a godly man shouldn't be doing those things. And so now I had more excuses not to go to church anywhere. And so this was in between career. I was at a smaller department, and I'd applied at the department I retired from and was hired at. And I was actually hired by prior police department in the mid-80s and went to work for them undercover. It was my first assignment, and I was living with drug dealers and buying drugs and recording all those transactions. And it was going to be quite an ordeal. But I remember distinctly that my wife was now pregnant with our first child, my son Cody, who is involved in our ministry as well now. And she was pregnant, and I was in my pickup truck. I just stopped at the store and bought a pack of cigarettes and some snuff and was in the pickup truck and on my way home, and just instantly and out of nowhere began to become really bothered about my life. Bothered about my how I treated my wife, bothered about my sin. I saw myself in a way I'd not saw myself before. I mean, obviously, I'd grown up hearing that we're all sinners, but now I felt that I was a sinner, if that makes sense. I was deeply burdened, and all I know is I knew that I'd been taught from the time I was a little boy to call out to the Lord, and he will save. And I remember in my pickup truck weeping, you know, this big tough cop with a gun and a badge. And by this time, I'm actually working undercover and buying drugs from bad guys. I'm driving down the highway weeping uncontrollably over my life. And I cried out for the Lord to save me. And the Lord saved me in my pickup truck. And so that was a beginning. The story goes on. You know, I went home to my wife, and I walked in the front door, and of course, I'm sure my face was red, and she looked at me and said, "What in the world has happened to you?" And I sat down with her, and she had been praying for me, and I just told her that how I had turned to Christ and repented. I'm done. I actually threw the cigarettes out the window that I just bought and the snuff. I was done. You know, I finished my undercover operation, and now I'm out on patrol, and it was just a fire burning in me to make Christ known. And that kind of one thing led to another. Over the next 4 years, I was doing juvenile crime, just began sharing what I knew about Christ with teenagers that were involved with law enforcement, that were at risk, kids that were being arrested or whatever, and sharing Christ. And I wanted them to know the gospel. And another interesting thing, this all plays into the transformation over the years, that when I first was born again, when the Lord first rescued me, I'd never read a piece of literature in my life. I didn't like school. I just wanted to work. I mean, I had no plans of being a pastor. But when the Lord saved me, I just had this insatiable appetite to read Christian literature. And I knew that something was not right. The experience in the church I was in, just those few weeks of that pastor falling into sin, I knew the church, the modern church, was, what I knew about it was amiss. I remember going to a bookstore. It wasn't even a Christian bookstore. It was just a bookstore in our community. And I visited with the guy that owned it. I said, listen, I want to read a Christian book. And I want it to be old. I don't want anything modern. I don't want to read anything that's been written in the last 100 years. It plays into what happened because John Owen falls into my hand, Mortification.
Wow.
So the first book that this now preacher ever read in the history of my life was John Owen. I'm sitting here in my library. I see the volume sitting on my shelf right here.
And you understood it when you were reading it?
You know,
John Owen is a very difficult person.
It's puritanical. You know, I was determined that these older Christians had to have had something that's not present or prevalent in the church today. And that really set the tune for my reading appetite. And so one thing led to another. I'd go back, do you have any other books like this one? And I want another one. And so I would get one and read it. And so my library to this day is mainly of that sort of genre of literature. I'm a Puritan fan.
I'm amazed that a secular bookstore would even have John Owen. Was this a used bookstore, like a collectible?
It's new and used books.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, that bookstore still is operating in our community. But anyway, back to the story. I read that book, and it just gripped me. It gripped me. So how I get off in the charismatic church, a guy that I was working with, a dear friend of this very day, I love him dearly. In fact, his sister is one of our most faithful ladies in our church, and he lives in Texas. He invited me to go to church with him because I was not going to church faithfully because of the situation that had happened. And my wife and I had actually visited and gone a few times to an Assembly of God church at the invitation of my older brother. And nothing was clicking with me there. I was not happy. And he invited me to go with him, and we ended up in a small church in our community that was a Word of Faith church. And so I didn't know enough about theology at that time to know that the level of the error that was in that church.
So this was before you yourself had experienced any charismatic phenomena?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so we started going, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I just supposed to trust the preacher and trust what he says. And so, you know, we're there and making friends in this church. And my buddy is like, you know, this is a good place for us to be. And, you know, I'm going to Bible studies at his house. And you know, I'm just learning. I just don't know much. You know, my doctrinal foundation is so thin. But I'm reading good stuff. Now, this is in the background. And it's not like I'm reading five books a week. And it's taken me time to get through some of these books because they're heavy, and I'm dense, okay? I'm not the smartest guy that's ever been on the face of the earth. So over the course of time, there's a gospel formation, deep gospel formation that's taking place in me. And I'm sitting here looking at my library right now, and, you know, I'm seeing Thomas Manton, I'm seeing Thomas Boston and Richard Sibbs and John Newton and John Flavel, and so these are volumes that I'm beginning to read, and this is over the course of years. At the same time, you know, I'm in this church realm of this Word of Faith, charismatic ideology that's being taught. And so, you know, at the same time, I love my pastor. I love his family. We have friends that are there that we love. We're trusting that they know what they're talking about.
Now, did that pastor, just to, not, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but did that pastor strike you as a sincere, genuinely Christian man who was himself deceived by the word of faith, or do you, did he strike you as a charlatan, at least later on?
Well, now looking back, I do see that there was a lot of red flags I didn't see. I mean, there were huge, glaring red flags that I did not see. But still, at that time, being young, I mean, I'm in my early 20s, and I just trust that what he's saying is right. So I don't have enough doctrinal formation to be able to defend a position at that time, but I trust him as a person and a friend. But yeah, looking back, you know, and obviously I've given this a million thoughts since then, there were things that were, that should have been read, that should have been identified, but weren't.
And let's pick up right where you left off, because we have to go to our first station break. And if anybody wants to join us on the air with a question for our guest today, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I could readily see when we are discussing something as controversial as this, that there may be people who want to remain anonymous. You might be a charismatic person who is starting to question what you believe, what you've been taught, what you've been practicing, and you don't want to call attention to your identity at this point in your life. You're still in a charismatic or Pentecostal church, or you may even be a pastor of a charismatic or Pentecostal church. In fact, years ago when I was broadcasting out of WNYG Radio in Babylon, Long Island, New York, a pastor in a charismatic congregation who listened to my program heard a Reformed guest. In fact, it was my dear friend, Pastor Bill Shishko of the, at that time, of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square, Long Island, New York. He now pastors a church plant from that congregation in Commack, Long Island, New York, The Haven. But this charismatic pastor heard an interview that struck him to the core, and he had to meet with Pastor Bill. This man left the charismatic movement, resigned from his pastoral position, and to my knowledge is still not a pastor anywhere, but he just could not move on in good conscience, obviously, with pastoring a church when he didn't even agree with one of the main principles that they believed in and practiced. But you might be somebody in that same position. You don't want to identify yourself. That was a very long way of saying why some folks will obviously want to remain anonymous. And we will honor that request. But if it's just a general question about Derek Melton's testimony, about the scriptures, about theology and doctrine, if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Derek Melton of Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma, on the theme, One Man's Exodus Out from the Charismatic Movement and Into the Reformed Faith. We'll be right back.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, It supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is President Biden. I want to encourage you to listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with Chris Arnzen. Now, as you know, as a lapsed heathen Catholic, I don't listen to it, but you should. Come on, man. What do you have to lose?
And we are back now with Derek Melton, retired assistant chief of police at the Pryor Police Department in Pryor, Oklahoma. And he is currently the senior pastor at Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma. We are discussing one man's exodus out from the charismatic movement and into the Reformed faith. If you have a question, and we already have some waiting to be asked and answered, but if you would like to get in line and if you have a question of your own, email it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence, unless you are remaining anonymous due to the question being over a very private matter. And right before the break, Pastor Derek, you were talking about how early on in your Christian life as a new babe in Christ, you began attending a church that was a Word of Faith Pentecostal church. You didn't really know anything about what that actually meant, but you started to develop a close relationship and develop a love for your pastor. And you, right before the break, were saying down the road or in hindsight, you realized that there were some red flags that were flashing, and you missed those flags. You weren't discerning enough at that time to notice that there was something really amiss there. But if you could pick up where you left off.
So, yeah, young and just not having any doctrinal knowledge, there were so many things that I did not see that now looking back are so evident and glaring. But to make a long story short, I bought into that movement. I mean, it's embarrassing now, but some of the things that they taught that I was actually believing, you know, with, you know, some of the sign gift things, the speaking in tongues, their words of faith, they would show you in the Bible and like, okay. You know, although, you know, when those things were happening, there was just an uneasiness, you know, even then, you know, as a young man, very uneasy about them in the beginning. And of course, over time, as you're exposed to that more and more, that uneasiness begins to drift and to to dissipate. Now, mind you, I'm still at home whenever I'm finding time. I'm reading good literature, and so I want to keep that in the background because that's going to ultimately play into this testimony as it goes on along. And so we are there, and, you know, from beginning to end, we were in that church about 10 years, from my early 20s until around my early 30s. I had started listening to A.W. Tozer's preaching. I would buy his tape series. There were a couple different ones I would listen to, and listen to him and some other guys kind of in that genre. They're Arminian guys that had a high view of God, high view of Scripture, and it really caught my attention because it was sounding more and more like what I was reading.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't Tozer have some kind of a belief in charismatic experience? Something to do with extra-biblical revelation or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Tozer was big on the Catholic mystics, and he did a lot of reading of Madame Guyon and Teresa of Avila.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Those were some of his heroes. And so, but at the same time, I mean, he was preaching some solid truth as well. But, yeah, I think so. And so as far as the sign gifts and all that, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Tozer was a continuation guy. But anyway, my gospel formation is well underway, especially with what I'm reading. And towards the end of my time in that movement, I mean, I would be on the night shift working street crimes or whatever, and I would be listening to preaching. And at that time, I would listen to David Wilkerson as well, some of his preaching tapes, especially the stuff where he'd be preaching on repentance.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Wilkerson, although a charismatic, clearly, he was very, very opposed to the Word of Faith movement. And he also had a massive Reformed library, including many volumes by Puritans. And I'm almost certain Banner of Truth even had him endorsed one of those books. Or it might have been another publisher that published a Reformed book by a Puritan that he wrote a commendation for the cover. But anyway.
Christian in Complete Armor.
Okay, there you go.
Bernal. Yeah. And so anyway, I'm listening to Wilkerson preach, and I'd have this stuff going in my police car, and I'd pray. Then I would go to church on Sunday, get off at 6 in the morning and go home and change and go get things ready for my pastor. And then just hear something, and I'm beginning to have a very uneasy, burdened issue in my heart as I'm there, because what I'm hearing is something different than what I'm reading, something different than what even I've been listening to in the police car. And so as time goes on, that burden gets more and more and more pronounced. By the time I'm just completely done with the charismatic movement, and this was in the latter part of the 90s, and I just abandoned it altogether. I'm done with this. 1999, I planted what now is Grace Life Church. We then were Prior Creek Community Church. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching on what true conversion is, obviously, and I'm an Arminian at this point, but yet a high view of Scripture, a high view of God, and we walked along that way. And because of people knowing that I was in the charismatic church, that flavor of people started coming to the church I was pastoring.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they knew that I'd been in that movement. So, but I'm preaching repentance. I'm preaching a high view of God. In fact, around 2009, I've been listening to Paul Washer preaching. And he just really, really spoke to my heart. I really loved his proclamations. I loved his style. I mean, I loved the message. I loved the strong, bold, confrontational preaching. And I was listening to him. And that was the first time I'd ever been introduced to Jeff Noblet and Anchored in Truth, True Church Conference.
By the way, were you there at the last one? Because I was there, and I was absolutely blown away. That was such a phenomenal event.
Yeah, I was there. We are actually a church plant of Grace Life Church of Muscle Shoals, Alabama now. And I'm sure we'll get to this later, but we had a massive church split over doctrine in 2012, as you can only imagine. And I was pretty devastated. I have a lot of had a lot of health issues. I had to have my spine operated on because of law enforcement injuries, and I was just kind of at the bottom of the barrel. And then they came in, and just kind of Jeff Noblet and Steve McAllister came in, just picked me up and said, "We're going to help you through this." And we kind of did a restart and became Grace Life Church.
Praise God.
Back to where I was at. The tension built where I just had to leave. I was just done. I turned away from it and denounced it as being untrue.
You know, the charismatic movement, you mean?
The charismatic movement.
Right.
They call themselves a full gospel church, and there was just no gospel in it. I can't recall the gospel being preached in my home church.
Wow.
one time.
Wow.
It was just all this superficial, these experiences. You had to believe for external, outward things and having a faith in your faith to get these physical things. I mean, everything that we find in 1 John chapter 2, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride, boastful pride of life is what they were pursuing. And so I was just done with it. And so, and of course, you know, I planted this church in 99, and I'm reading, I'm developing a theological worldview, a theological framework. I'm beginning to listen to the right guys. I've been reading the Puritans. I'm more avid of reading the Puritans. And I committed a year, and it was, I think it was around 2008, to preach on just the doctrine of God, because I was convinced that the evangelical church didn't have a clue who the God of the Bible was. So I'm preaching on the attributes of God every Sunday for a year. This is back then. And by the way, I was an Arminian, right? But I'm using, for some of my resources, you know, Tozer's book, and but most especially Stephen Charnock on the existence and the attributes of God. It's a volume I just love and treasure this day.
It is fascinating to me that you, the very first Christian book you got your hands on in your first baby steps as a Christian, which you got at a secular bookstore, was a book by John Owen, one of the giants of the Reformed faith. And yet, and all these years go by, and you're in the Word of Faith movement, and you're in, even after having left there, you're still an Arminian Christian after devouring all these Reformed books. It's kind of interesting how it took so long. Or God just chose to tarry. That's what really it was, to turn the light switch on.
I'm dense, right? I'm not the sharpest.
Well, since we're Reformed, we know that it is not the intellect of anyone that reveals these things.
It's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's the grace of God. And so, again, we're fast-forwarding, and this around 2008, maybe 2009. I remember going to the True Church Conference and hearing David Miller preaching on the doctrine of election, and I'm just right there at the teetering point. I mean, I've been reading on election to the Puritans. I'm just right there, and I loved Grace Life Church. I remember telling my wife, I want the church I pastor to be like this. I just don't know how to get it there. I don't know how to turn this thing around. And so I had transitioned to expository preaching. I'd been a topical preacher my whole life. So now I'm going verse by verse through the book of John, and obviously you come to some mighty texts. But back to the year of preaching on the doctrine of God, I come to the doctrine of God's sovereignty. And I'm reading Charnock and his chapter on the dominion of God. And all I can say, Chris, is it was like scales fell off my eyes. I was so overwhelmed with joy. I mean, I got it. The way that Charnock put it, that if all of humanity are headed towards hell of their own volition, loving their sin, if we are fallen the way the Bible says that we are, we're all headed to destruction. He said, what injustice is there if God, for his own glory, changes the hearts of some and turns them back and gives them grace and then allow the others to go forward in the sin that they love and want, and God gives them justice. What injustice is there? And just like scales fell off my eyes, I'm like, oh, God.
Wow.
You are sovereign in my salvation. I'm sitting there, young assistant police chief at the time. I was working bivocationally, my laptop's in my lap, and I'm sitting there weeping, full of joy. And things were, I mean, like there were pieces missing. I knew the Bible was right. I knew it was my understanding that was wrong, but I didn't know where. All of a sudden, these things are coming into view, and I'm beginning to understand. And I'm just overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with joy, but I'm weeping. I'm not emotional. I just don't sit around the house and cry. And my wife, you know, walks in. I try to explain to her what I just see in Scripture, what I'm seeing in the Word of God. And, like, I didn't even know God was this sovereign. And of course, then she's like, oh, you need to quit reading. You're going to split the church. And how prophetic that was. This starts seeping out of my preaching as I'm going through the Gospel of John. I'm preaching on regeneration, that it being a sovereign work of God. We're dead in sin. God has to act upon us in power and in grace. And I'm on the radar with the elders now. And that went on for a couple of years. The tension was building. And in 2012, the church I pastor split. Probably 75% of the people that were attending our church left. And Facebook was alive with bash Pastor Derek.
This was all over the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Doctrines over sovereign grace, yeah. The freedom of God in the regeneration of His people is what started it. And I just holding on to Scripture is all I had. And, you know, my best friends were on staff at the church I pastored, and they were leading the split against me. And the church did split. And there are probably less than a quarter of those that had been coming stayed with us. And that's when I reached out in 2012 to Jeff Noblet and Steve McAllister and Anchored in Truth. You know, I'm hurting. I need some help here. This is what's going on. And they knew what the split was about, that it was over doctrine, that I was trying to get the church doctrinally sound and doctrinally right. I mean, I'd seen these truths and saw that some of the things I had previously taught that were wrong. And, you know, and I'm brokenhearted over those things. And I want to be true to the Scripture. I'm going verse by verse. David Miller had helped me. I went to his preacher's class with him and Herschel York in Arkansas. And then I went to the very first Expositors Institute that Steve Lawson put on, and Steve knew what I was going through, and they were really helping me. But Anchored in Truth came in and just picked us up and said, we're going to help you restart. And so in 2012, we changed the name from Prior Creek Community Church to Grace Life Church.
And in fact, we're going to pick up right where you left off there. And don't let me forget to tell you a Steve Lawson story that he told me and may have told you as well. But we're going to our midway break, folks. It's longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they're required by the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other local things that geographically are connected to Lake City, Florida. So while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down the information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And if you can't purchase their products and if you can't use their services or visit their churches or support their parachurch organizations, please, at the very least, everybody could do this. If you love this show, please, at the very least, respond to our advertisers and say thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is, if you do really love the show and you are really grateful that there are people who love it as well enough to spend their hard-earned money on keeping this show in existence. So if you're really thankful for that, please thank our sponsors. We cannot exist without them. And also send in your questions for our guest today, Pastor Derek Melton. on his journey out of the charismatic movement and into Reformed theology. And our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsor.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers. Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, with Easter coming up, with Mother's Day coming up, with Father's Day coming up after that, with all kinds of celebrations like wedding anniversaries, baptism celebrations, we could go on and on with the reasons why people purchase gifts. Well, please remember solid-ground-books.com as your first stop for your gift-giving needs. Solid-ground-books.com. Not only is solid-ground-books.com one of the most faithful websites where you can discover the best in Christian literature for yourself, for your own self-edification, for your own growth and your knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures, for your own replenishing of your library, but also, as I was just saying, to give the gift of excellent Christian literature to those you love is something that Solid Ground Christian Books is there for, to give you as much assistance as they can. And in fact, I'm going to be shipping out very shortly several books to all of the pastors that were on the speaking roster at the True Church Conference in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I'm going to have Solid Ground Christian Books send out to each of those pastors several books that I am very confident will bless their pastoral ministry immensely. And you can do that at solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Please always mention when you're making a purchase that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts an enormous favor of incalculable value by shopping at solid-ground-books.com. And remember, they publish and bring back into print nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day with such extraordinary authors of our modern times as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who happens to be a good, close, mutual friend of my guest today, many of our listeners, I'm sure. Solid-Grand-Books.com. And also, folks, I want to remind you, if you really love this show, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio the old-fashioned way through the Postal Service, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And as I try to remember to remind you every day, please do not dig in to the money that you normally would be giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. Please never do that. This program, one of the pillars of this program's foundation, was to be an extension, a helping hand, and a platform to the local pastor and the local church, those that are biblically faithful, of course. I never want to do anything that harms the local pastor and the local church, even in the area of finances. So please don't give your church less to give us a gift. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, don't take food off of your family's dinner table by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio just yet in your life. Those two things are commands of God to provide for church and family. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for recreational and trivial matters, to go to fast food restaurants, to go to concerts, to go to sporting events, whatever it is you like to do and you have extra money to spend, well, please use a portion of that to help us here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, if indeed you love the show and you don't want it to disappear. It's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church like Grace Life Church in Pryor, Oklahoma, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have really extensive lists of Christ-honoring, doctrinally sound, theologically faithful, biblical churches all over the planet Earth. And no matter where you live, I may be able to help you find a church. Sometimes I've helped people find churches in our audience in all parts of the world right around the corner from where they live. And they didn't even know these churches existed, or they passed them by every day and didn't know that the churches were theologically sound. So if you're in that category, or if you know someone who is, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Pastor Derek Melton of Grace Life Church of Pryor, Oklahoma, as we continue our discussion on one man's exodus out from the charismatic movement into the Reformed faith. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Pastor Derek, right before the break, you may recall, you were discussing a really tragic event that was occurring in the life of your congregation after you came to the doctrines of sovereign grace, also nicknamed Reformed theology and Calvinism. And you said about 75% of the people left there, if I'm not mistaken. And to quickly tell at least a part of that Steve Lawson story, when he was a guest on my program sometime in the early 2000s, when he was still a pastor, he had told me that when a similar circumstance happened to him and he came to the doctrines of grace, there were actually deacons who were physically trying to drag him away from the pulpit in the middle of a sermon. I can't remember how that played out. I can't remember if somebody else stopped them or if he was dragged away permanently. But I know he obviously left that church not long after that. I don't know if you've ever heard Dr. Lawson tell that story, but pick up where you left off.
Yeah, so he shared that story with me just to encourage me in my season of pain going through this necessary.
Encourage you by making it clear that his situation was worse? How could it be an encouragement otherwise?
No, yeah, it was encouragement in that I wasn't the only guy that had gone through.
Right.
Was going through these kinds of church situations to where church members were revolting against the truth of God about God's sovereignty and salvation and then upheaval in the church. In fact, I think that was at that same church that Dr. Lawson was at that he actually left out, took his shoes off and dusted them off in front of his own children and then left.
Wow.
The church. But, so, yeah, we had that experience here, and very painful. Very dear friends left us, and over these truths that I was preaching, and not my verse-to-verse preaching, by the way, was that I had this new hobby horse and was going to ride the hobby horse for the rest of my ministry days. I was just preaching verse by verse, and these truths came out in the preaching, and then the war began. But all for the good, brother, because, you know, where we're at today and the sweet, godly people that have joined Grace Life Church in the last 10 years, as we've been seeking to have biblical health and to reform the church to biblical health. There are believers in our communities that surround prior that are now driving to come and to hear the word preached verse by verse and the power of the Spirit and want to be part of a faithful local church. So it took that pruning, I guess, be the best way to put that, to get where we are today.
Well, praise God. We do have a listener who has a question involving something far less serious. It's somewhat off the topic, but it involves something that evidently is a passion of yours. We have John in Peoria, Illinois, who asks, could Pastor Melton say a few words about his knife making? And he basically wants you to explain that in detail. He apparently must be a customer of yours or is at least aware of your making of knives.
So I am a custom knife maker on the side. I do that simply because I enjoy working with my hands, and after several days of tedious study, it's good to get outside and hit something. And so I go out in my forge and light it and forge steels. I make all different kinds of custom knives. I mean, each knife I send out has been custom made 100% by me.
Cool.
And so I do higher-end Damascus steels. I call those my heirlooms series that your great-grandkids will be using. Have different layers of steel. Some of those have inlaid nickel and copper in them. But anyway, I use some raw materials like deer antler, elk antler, and those higher-end blades. I do make just a custom skinny blade, homogeneous tool steel blade. That's less expensive, but equally as quality. But anyway, yeah, I do that on the side. I've been doing that since I retired from law enforcement in 2015 was my last time in law enforcement. I did 30 years behind a badge and decided I needed to do something like that. I didn't have time before between pastoring full-time and our outreach work with troubled kids and then administrating a law enforcement department is I was just working 7 days a week for years on end, and so I didn't have time. But after retired, I thought it'd be good for me to get outside and to work with my hands. And I like guns and knives, always have, and so it just kind of was a natural fit. So I started studying the art of knife making and meeting with some master bladesmiths and then just a lot of research, and just started doing that on my own, and one thing led to another. And I'll just say this. I know that there's an audience listening that my desire is not to be a good knife maker and a mediocre pastor. So my chief desire is to glorify God in my ministry, and so I'm a student of Scripture, so I spend the majority of my time in the study. And if I do have an afternoon or an hour or two, I go to the shop and work. I think I've worked in the shop one day since before Christmas.
Now, how can somebody How can somebody purchase one of your knives?
They'll just have to reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter. Twitter is Derek Lane Melton is my Twitter, and then Instagram is Derek.Melton. Now, I will say there is another Derek Melton that is a lot better bladesmith and blacksmith than I am. He's a forge and fire winner, and he's in Mississippi, and he has a big web page with Derek Melton. I'm not that guy. He's way better than me.
Huh.
And he's a good Christian brother, but I am.
Wow.
I'm the little D Derek Melton in Pryor, Oklahoma, that pastors Grace Life Church, and I make knives as a hobby on the side. And Jono has some of my blades, and Pastor Jeff has some of my blades, and I like to see guys use them, and they seem to think that they work really well.
And by the way, folks, the spelling of our guest's name is D E R E K M as in Michael, E L T O N. And make sure you are looking for his knife work in Pryor, Oklahoma, not Mississippi, which is where the other brother has his knife business. Did you make any of James White's swords that he has on the wall?
No, but Dr. White has two of my knives. He has one from earlier on. He and I've been friends for, around 10 years, I think. And so he has one of my earlier on blades, and last time he was here, I made him an heirloom blade. I think he takes with him about everywhere he goes.
Cool. Well, maybe one of these days I can afford to get a customized knife to be a symbol for Iron Sharpens Iron. Your hobby is something that is connected to the image on my website where you have a blacksmith hammering out metal on an anvil. So I just immediately thought of that. Oh, look at this. We have a brother who I have interviewed before, who I did have the pleasure to see at the True Church Conference. He has a question for you. His name is Blake Keenum, and he is a pastor in Selkirk, Canada. And his question is, what can I do to help a charismatic friend understand the doctrine of the Spirit better? What truths are helpful to bring clarity to the charismatic movement?
A good question, Blake. And, of course, Blake's one of my dear friends, and so I'm glad he asked the question. You know, there is an aberration of their view of the Holy Spirit, with more the outward manifestations of the Spirit. And I would just say to Blake that Scripture is the two-edged sword, and go to John 14 and John 16 and show how the Holy Spirit is given to glorify Christ and to empower us for service, and for that we might be a Christ-centered people. And so that's just where I would go. And again, I have these talks with a lot of charismatics in our area and former charismatics, and that's a big struggle for them. That you know their view of the Holy Spirit is that mainly these outward signs giving us direct revelation. That's just the way that they view the Holy Spirit of God. And you have to bring to bear the Scriptures upon that misunderstanding, or is this going to continue? I mean, these people, as I was at that particular time, believe that what they're taught is true, and they learn the language. They learn, and that's one of the things I see with the charismatic movement. They don't learn doctrine. They learn the language of the charismatic culture, and they're dogmatic about it. And with that is some of the misrepresentations of the Holy Spirit as well. But the big thing with them is the sign gifts. And it was a big thing for me too, Chris. And all I can say is that the study of Scripture is what pruned off those dead branches in my life. And I saw that that God speaks sufficiently and authoritatively through the 66 canonized book of Scriptures, books of Scripture, and then any direct revelation outside of Scripture, how would I know what that is? By what measure am I going to measure whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, or is it Satan coming disguised as an angel of light?
Right.
And so, you know, and the quote that helped me is, I think it's a John Owen quote, that if these private revelations are biblical, they're not necessary. If they're not biblical, they're untrue. And that just helped me years and years ago when I was wrestling with this and the doctrine of sola scriptura. And the scriptures convinced me that God has spoken to us in these last days in his son. And that's the end of story. That was just the end of story for me.
And it reminds me of Steve Lawson again, because he said something very true, and yet it is somewhat comical. He said, if you want to hear God speak, read your Bible out loud.
Right. That's exactly right.
Now, thank you. By the way, I'm going to give a plug to our brother who has submitted the question, Pastor Keenum. This was not planned, I assure you. It was just a nice surprise to see his question come in. And I'm looking up his information here. His church is Grace Baptist Church in Manitoba, Canada. And I was just looking at it, and it disappeared. Oh, here it is. Grace Baptist Church in Selkirk, Manitoba, Canada. The website is Selkirk, S-E-L-K-I-R-K, GBC for Grace Baptist Church, .org. That's Selkirk, S-E-L-K-I-R-K, GBC, .org, Grace Baptist Church in Selkirk, Manitoba, Canada. And that's Blake Keenum is the pastor. Thank you so much for listening, Pastor Blake. You said something very key here, because most charismatics and Pentecostals that I have met and known believe that the Bible is very precious and vital. There are very biblically literate charismatics and Pentecostals. There are many that I have met that have memorized great portions of Scripture. But what they don't realize is that they are downplaying, if not right out rejecting, the sufficiency of Scripture. They may believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. They may believe in the necessity of Scripture, but they don't believe, at least consciously, or should I say, they unconsciously don't believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that, Chris. And that's why I mentioned that a few moments ago, that it is a distrust in the sufficiency of Scripture, and that we need, and as you will hear in the charismatic circles, a fresh word, so as to devalue. And I know that not all do this, and I'm not throwing all of them into one lump, because they're not. And there's some good brothers, as you've mentioned. I've got some dear friends that are still in that movement. I do love them dearly. But what you're doing, and maybe it is an issue of not consciously, but you're unconsciously saying that the Scriptures do not speak clearly or definitively enough for me, and I need a word that is outside of the Scripture directly from God.
Now, to give more of a... what's the word I'm looking for? Actually, to lessen the hostility of our listeners against the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, obviously we strongly disagree with their views on the sign gifts, and in many cases also on theological issues, since many, not all, there are Calvinistic Pentecostals, especially in the 21st century. I know some personally, but most of them would not be. Most of them would even believe you could lose your salvation and so on. But their roots, and I'm not saying their roots are pristine, and I'm not saying that there weren't charlatans among those in the very foundations of this movement, but there was a wrong response for a right reason to the German higher criticism that was really spreading like wildfire in the 19th century and early 20th century, where you had theologians denying the miraculous in the Bible and painting a picture of God as if he is impotent today, as if he is not actively involved in things in the day-to-day lives of people on this planet. And they just wrongly reacted to that, wanting to uphold a God that is biblical and a Christ that is biblical and a church that is biblical. They just misapplied the teachings in the scripture about the sign gifts and insisted that they must be happening today in order for the church to be relevant and in order for the scriptures to be true. Would you say I'm overstepping my defense of them, or how would you respond to that?
No, I think there's truth in that, Chris. Obviously, that's a big thing within the charismatic, word of faith, Pentecostal culture. The church I was in was more word of faith, probably not Pentecostal in that there are Pentecostal churches that have a pretty robust understanding of the gospel. The church that I was affiliated with did not. And I see this common in the area that I live in northeast Oklahoma. We're 30 minutes from Tulsa, the birthplace of the whole movement, the charismatic word of faith movement with the Hagans and Oral Roberts and those kinds of names. There's still mega churches there today. So the influence is here and it's strong. But a lot of this is their view is that Christianity and these manifestations is what characterizes Christianity, and that the gospel is system, that this direct revelation, these manifestations, if you will, of the Spirit is what they center and asphyxiate themselves upon. And again, I'm not saying that that's everyone that's in that movement. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there is a large contingent of them in northeast Oklahoma that it's about these outward, tangible manifestations, a word from the Lord that God spoke and told me to tell you, and that there is such a focus upon these external, what they would call manifestations of the Spirit, that they're completely void of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an illustration or example. When I was working at law enforcement, I'd been ministering to one of my employees who was in a Word of Faith church. Had been in a Word of Faith church his whole life, and he's 63 now. He left law enforcement right around the time I left. He was actually in animal control, and I prayed with him as he left, and we maintained friendship. His father passed away, and he wanted me to do his dad's funeral, and I ministered to him and the family, and then wasn't long after that his mom passed away, and I did her funeral, and again, we're friends. And I'm still ministering to him the gospel of Christ. And to make a long story short, his wife left him, and he reached out again and started coming to church with me. And I started meeting with him, just going through the gospel on Mondays. We'd spend a couple hours going through the gospel, and I was explaining the substitutionary atoning work of Christ to him. And I looked across the desk, and he said, there were tears run down his face. And I said, what's wrong, brother? He said, why hasn't anyone told me this before? I said, told you what? He said, about substitution. I said, you've never been told that? He said, I've never heard that word in my life. I said, you've been going to church for 60 years in the Word of Faith, Pentecostal churches, and you never heard about Jesus dying as your substitute? He said, not once. And I just began explaining the full gospel, and he just weeping. He said, no one's ever told me that. And he now has been saved. He called me shortly, I was a few days after that, and then he went home and threw himself on the floor and cried out for the Lord to save him and repented. And he is on fire for the Lord. I still meet with him every week, and he's a member, gone through membership at our church. I explained to him the error of the charismatic church, and he is just on fire. And he's like me, just has a bitter taste in his mouth about the error that was shoved down his throat for all those years. But the point I'm making is this. There was such an emphasis placed on the miraculous, upon the sign gifts, upon physical healing, that there was zero gospel preaching. He had never heard the gospel in all those years in going to church in a Word of Faith Pentecostal type church.
Wow. Yeah, I remember years ago in the 90s, I believe. Yeah, I'm almost certain it was in the mid-90s. My general manager of WMCA Radio, where I worked for 15 years, he said, Chris, I want you to join me at a large charismatic church not far from where you live, because I want to see and hear with my own eyes and ears what Rodney Howard Brown is all about, and not just go by hearsay and so on. I just want to see how far off this guy really is. And we both went to this nightmarish circus that Brown had orchestrated at the Upper Room Tabernacle in Deer Park, Long Island. And I purposely mentioned the name of that church because it's a dangerous false church, and thousands of deceived people from my native home, Long Island, New York, are flooding into that place. I don't know. I haven't gotten an update lately, but it was a chilling experience. First of all, there was no mention of the need to embrace Christ and to trust in his atoning death. There was no mention of his substitution for sinners on the cross of Calvary. There was nothing at all mentioned about that. It was all about this laughing revival experience that he was promoting. And he said something very interesting that I never heard a Pentecostal or charismatic say. He was making fun of charismatics and Pentecostals who see a demon under every rock. And he said he was sick and tired of being invited to churches where the pastor will pray for the protection from demons while he was speaking at a particular place. And he said very arrogantly, I don't need those prayers. I walk into a room and the demons scatter. And when I was listening to all this criticism of charismatics and Pentecostals by someone who is the king of the false charismatics, it occurred to me, I think that he was trying to put people at ease to accept a demonic experience. He didn't want people to be afraid of the demonic while this experience was happening, whether it was fake or real. Even A.W. Pink, who was involved in the occult before he was a Christian, said that he witnessed things that could not be explained as parlor tricks and the tricks of charlatans. He believed that he witnessed genuinely demonic activity that was manifesting itself in some kind of outward, seemingly miraculous way. So anyway, that brings me to a question. Why is this so serious and why is this so dangerous? And I believe one of the reasons it's dangerous is because of this opening up the mind to invite whatever these bizarre experiences may be that are occurring in some, not all, in some of these charismatic and Pentecostal churches. And there are charismatics and Pentecostals who are just as repulsed by Rodney Howard Brown and the Word of Faith movement as we are. But this is not the kind of thing you're typically going to see in a Reformed Baptist church. So take up my thoughts from there and your reaction to them.
Say that again.
Just respond to what I just said about one of the reasons why I believe this is such a serious and dangerous area is that it does open up people who believe they are safe. They perhaps are not even regenerate, and they are naively opening up their minds and hearts and souls to demonic activity.
Well, undoubtedly. You know, so many people that are attending those churches are like a young Derek Melton. They just don't know any better. But here you have these charlatans coming in and putting on these hocus-pocus shows, and I'll just be honest with you, brother. You know, these guys preach on faith all the time, but I'll just say that it's an issue of doubt that drives a lot of this. They have to see something, you know, give us a sign, you know, and that's what drives it. It's not, these people are not people of faith. These guys that are leading these movements are not men of faith. They have to have the outward and the visible to help them be reassured that there's something that's real in what they're doing. It's not just trusting what the Lord has said and given to us in divine revelation that is affirmed to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I know there are charismatic believers that don't believe that way, but man, being in that movement, that's what I saw as characteristic, that these were people that did not believe and they needed some outward sign to believe. And is there an inroad, like you're saying, to dark, demonic forces in some of these meetings? Is that what's driving this laughing phenomenon? I've been in a meeting with Rodney Howard Brown way back in the day. It is a eerie situation. Even in those days, it was very eerie to me. Something was not right with it. And what's not right with it is I believe that it's being driven by demons. And listen, the adversary is not concerned about being affiliated with the charismatic or going to a church meeting. It's the issue of the lordship and the glory of Christ. And as long as people are sidetracked with chasing phenomenon or the miraculous or needing to get a direct word from the Lord, which, by the way, those direct words from the Lord never bring you to repentance, do they? They don't. They just swell up with more pride and spiritual arrogance in your heart. And that's characteristic in that movement as well. I remember being in a meeting with Kenneth Hagin's son-in-law, Buddy Harrison. He's gone. He died of cancer. But he was praying for preachers and just basically strutting and pushing them down on the floor and strutting. And it just is, there's so much arrogance, you know, that they look down on guys like me. A Baptist, especially a Reformed Baptist, you know, that we don't have the corner on the market of truth, and they've got all these miracles and the pursuit of these things. It's just distracting from the message of the cross. You know, it's sad when you can go into a charismatic church in Northeast Oklahoma for 10 years and never hear a message about the cross. You never hear a message about the radical depravity of man. You never hear a message about the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about these external manifestations and the pursuit of these miracles or finances, or God wants you to be rich or whatever.
But and if
it's all a distraction.
And if you've noticed these so-called prophets, I have never heard one of these so-called charismatic or Pentecostal prophets or prophetesses give bad news to somebody when they are prophesying over them. Have you? It's always a wonderful bit of news about their future. And in fact, there is, I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I see the video, but there was a woman leading some kind of a prophecy event in a church, and a man went forward to be prophesied over, and this woman declared publicly that he was going to be a great prophet of God himself and leader of God's people. And when she was finished, he said, "Can I say a few words?" And she said, "Yes, praise the Lord." And he started to publicly denounce her as a false prophet.
So, right, I've seen that video.
We do have an anonymous listener who says, the Upper Room Christian World Center you were mentioning, which is definitely a false church, is on Deer Park Avenue in Dix Hills. It's not in Deer Park. Yes, absolutely right. And the only reason I would allow that to be pointed out is not because I'm promoting this synagogue of Satan. I am telling people, I'm warning them to flee from that place as fast as they can run. We also have an anonymous listener who wants to know, you discussed how you were a member of a church that was Word of Faith and charismatic, but I don't recall you ever mentioning during your testimony if you yourself had ever spoken in tongues, if you believed it was real, and what you think about that now.
Well, that's a good question, and I was hoping that would come up. I did. And let me tell you how that works. And this is how it works for all of them, because I don't believe that any of it's authentic. I believe it's all a sham. I'm a cessationist. So whenever you're young in the faith, acceptance is a big thing. you know, and they teach and preach that you have to have this gift to be a genuine, real kind of a Christian. And so if you're not doing that stuff, you're the kid on the football team that weighs 40 pounds and the rest of the guys weigh 270. And no one wants to be the third leg on the body. No one wants to be the third arm or the double-headed beast. And so, you know, you conform to that, and it goes against everything. I'm just talking from personal experience. I'm a 22-year-old kid. I don't know anything about theology. They point me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. So looky here. Then they go to the book of Acts and say, looky here. But they don't give me the context. They don't give me they don't even understand themselves, descriptive verses, prescriptive texts. You got to do all this, and you got to, so you start listening to these guys talking about how they drove a Honda. They drove a Honda. Or they drove a Toyota. They drove a Toyota. And you fall into that so that you'll fit in to that stereotype because you really do. It's embarrassing.
Untie my bow tie? Is that another one? Untie my bow tie?
Yeah, or you on another one, you know, the shundai deal, you know. And as long as you can say that, in fact, there's a church in our community. They had this video. My son sent it to me. They called down people, and they're going to get them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they laid hands on them and had them repeat, mama, daddy, faster, 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 faster. He said, you've got the gift of speaking in tongues.
And where is anything like that ever demonstrated in the Scripture? It's nowhere to be found. These people in the upper room did not even know what was going to happen to them. And to be coached to do it is absolutely ridiculous.
It's manipulation, brother, and manipulation is demonic. But it's manipulation, and as long as they get you doing that, they're good. But brother, the thing is, it's so bereft of the gospel. It's bereft of Christ. There's no mention of the glory of God. There's no mentions of the excellencies of Christ or his great salvation. It's all about getting you to stage two. It's this higher life. It's this deeper life. And they convince you that by doing that, that you're bypassing everything. You're getting into the deeper life. And it's just a manipulative tool that they themselves are just bereft of truth. But, you know, it's easy to get a young 22, 23-year-old guy that doesn't have any doctrine to do these things when he just wants to please God. And they tell you this is what you need, and you fall into that. And you have to really hit override with your mind, because everything in you tells you this ain't right.
Yeah, and that
manual override button, brother, I had to do that. And obviously, whenever I came to, you know, the doctrinal convictions that I'm at now, I look back and it just infuriates me, the manipulation that was pulled on me as a young man.
And it's extraordinary how people could view this. And depending upon what Pentecostal denomination you're in, some actually teach, the more mainstream Pentecostal denominations teach that tongues is the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the thing that has always baffled me is how can something that can so easily be faked be a sign of anything important? How could it? It makes absolutely no sense at all. Am I correct?
You're correct. Let me tell you a story, and I hope this is not improper.
In fact, could you tell the story right when we come back? We're taking a very quick break, and then if you could tell the story, please don't forget it.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these messages very quickly. Don't go away, folks.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti. Owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing. We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. And Pastor Derek, right before the break, I was saying that I think it is absolutely nonsensical for someone to believe that the modern understanding of Pentecostals and Charismatics in regard to what tongues is, how that could possibly be a sign, because it's easily faked. It's not like the gift, as you and I believe, where real languages were being spoken by people who had never previously learned those languages. That would be a sign. But saying, untie my bow tie 100 times, how on earth could that be viewed as a sign?
Right. You're just so mentally conditioned for that by those preachers that, and again, I think there's just that you want to believe your preacher to be right. And again, if you don't have a theological basis, if you don't have that kind of rigorous understanding of the scripture, then, and you fall for it. I did. Let me tell you the story I was going to tell you before we went to break. I had arrested a woman for first degree murder. She was a lesbian, and she killed her gay lover. And so I have her locked up in the cell. I mean, she still has blood on her hands, and she has hold of the bars and is looking at me and speaking in tongues.
Wow. Now, was she claiming these were the Holy Spirit of God, or was she just perhaps just demonstrating something satanic that even she recognized?
Well, she would toggle between that and singing Amazing Grace. So,
oh, okay, wow, that
again,
is
that 30 some years ago, and you know, I was a young street cop, and that just really shook me.
Yeah, even the actor, I don't know his name, but I saw him on an interview on the 700 Club many years ago. He performed in Jesus Christ Superstar on Broadway, and he said that when he was hanging on the cross, he began speaking in demonic tongues because he openly professed that he was not a believer at that time. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it is an odd thing to want to confess to if you're trying to promote charismatic phenomena. But we've got about 2 minutes for you to really summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today. And I know I'll definitely want to have you back on the program either to expand this same topic or discuss something else. But please summarize what you want our audience to most leave with today.
The most important thing I could say at this point is if you're in a church that's not preaching the death, burial, and the resurrection and ascension and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to leave and find a church that preaches the Word of God and the power of the Spirit, verse by verse, that puts on display His glories. Listen, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to make tongue talkers. And so I think if there's anything I can leave the listening audience with, if your church is not preaching in the power of the Spirit, that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, and that came into this world, lived a holy, perfect life, and died a substitutionary death on the cross and bore the wrath of God that we deserve, you need to find a real church because you're not even in a church.
Amen. And isn't it true, brother, that we who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, we who are nicknamed Reformed Christians and Calvinists, don't we really have a Holy Spirit that is far more powerful and vital and who has a much more important role in our lives and even in our coming to Christ and even in our possessing faith? We credit that to the Holy Spirit, whereas much of the Christian life and even salvation itself and believing is viewed by many charismatics and Pentecostals as something that was conjured up in a dead human heart.
Brother, we believe as Reformed Baptists, we believe the doctrine of sovereign grace. We believe that God, the Holy Spirit, raises up dead sinners by the creative power, omnipotent power of God to do to new life. and that his power is at work in our sanctification, in our day-to-day life, and showing us the glories of Christ in the Word of the living God. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray daily that that power would be manifest in my life.
Amen. And we're out of time. And the website to get more information about our guest's church is GraceLifePryor, PRYOR.org. GraceLifePryor, PRYOR.org. Thank you so much, brother. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.